Are you or anybody you know having a difficult time finding prostitutes during this pandemic? If so, I am here to help you. My name is Dan, and I am the creator of a mobile app, Let Ho. It has been compared to Let Go by the New York Times, Washington Post, and USA Today.
Wait, Let Ho?
Let Ho. What it does is let you find a hoe during this time of crisis. Do you need your car washed? Rather than taking it to the car wash, let ho. Do you need your grass cut? Rather than getting out there in this heat and cutting it yourself, let ho. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, in order to let go, you need to let ho. Only available for Apple OS, and we are not responsible for any missing items or missing
diseases.
People.
Or diseases.
All of our hoes have been tested, and they meet the criteria of a clean ho. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legal Lights. Legal Lice.
Lice?
The lice.
Wait, lice are legal?
Lice. Legal lice, yes.
Okay.
Now, if you would have went to Let Ho, you wouldn't have had them legal lice. Just saying.
I heard hoes got lice. They got other nasty shit.
We shave our hoes.
I don't know.
We shave. My name is Dan. You can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show, all platforms, Black Law Podcast.
Oh, yeah. And you can find me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies. Just Dan here.
Ladies and gentlemen, keeping with current events, Congress failed to reach an agreement last month.
This month.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm so done with it.
Current. See, in order to be current, you have to look at the past.
Whatever. So, yeah, that was. So, assistance or extended federal unemployment ended July 31st. And Congress was supposed to have something ready to replace it. So from what I understand, there is a bill that the House of Representatives passed. There's also a bill that the Senate passed. But it's like that old saying, East is East and West is West and never the twain shall meet. Well, of course, we know in the legislative process, what normally happens is Congress passes something. Well, I'm sorry, the House of Representatives passes something, the Senate passes something, and then they come together and they mesh them together to make one bill, and then they pass it, send it to the president, signs it, it becomes law. Well,
he vetoed it.
Well, no, in this particular case, they never came to a meeting of the minds, as we say in the law. Congress had their bill. I keep saying Congress, Lord, the House of Representatives had their bill and the Senate had their bill, but they could not agree because in the House of Representatives bill, there was an extension of the $600, the federal, addendum to state unemployment benefits. The House of Representatives kept that. The Republican Senate did not have that in their bill. As a matter of fact, the White House and the Senate did not want that to be extended. Basically, you know, I'm sure if you're current on what's going on, there's this big push by the Senate and the White House to get people back to work. Mm-hmm. They want people back to work because Donald Trump's whole political future, he was basically, he had all his eggs in one basket, and that was the economy basket.
And the economy that he inherited from Barack Obama was doing well.
Right, it was strong. It was
so he can't take no credit for that.
But he did.
Of course he did, but he can't.
In his head, it was the best economy since the inception of the country, and it was because of him and everything that he's done while in office. Well, once again, perception is reality for a lot of people. So the economy was going great. as I said, that was his basket, the economy. That was basically the only thing that he was riding on to be reelected. Well, now the economy is in the toilet because people can't go back to work.
So, now, what's crazy, though, is even if the economy rebounds, right? And let's say we get back to where we were in January.
Right.
People will not be where they were in January. People
correct.
Are going to feel this for the next probably
year,
5 years.
Year, well, let me tell you, people, year and a half, because once people start working, you know, our memories for a large part, we have very short memories. For people, once they start earning money again and they get back into the rhythm and the flow of working, school, you know, everyday life. But the economy as a whole, that rebound definitely is going to take years. Yeah. It will, because there are, I think we've mentioned in a previous show, how because of this, there's about 40% of businesses that are not going to reopen.
Reopen, yeah.
You know, they've closed. And believe it or not, you know, we look at big businesses like Coca-Cola and other big businesses, and we think that they are the drivers of the economy. When truthfully or factually, small businesses are what drives our economy.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you're saying a mom and pop business is more of a driver than an Amazon?
Right. Look at like Google it. Look at statistics and the facts that they have on there. Most, if you look at New Orleans, for instance, Amazon is not what drives our particular economy. Amazon is not what drives the state of Louisiana's economy.
Tourism and oil.
Right. So tourism.
Right.
And tourism is actually fostered by restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Who are not conglomerates, not big businesses. So you look at other states and in other cities, it's not really giant businesses that drive their economy. It's the medium-sized businesses for the most part. So when you throw out, or I throw out a statistic like 40% of these businesses are not going to come back, you're talking about people losing these jobs and where they're going to find them. So, I mean, the economy is definitely going to take a while to get back to what it was and how it was. Joe Biden went in November. He is going to inherit a mess.
And it's a mess that you will not be able to fix in 4 years. Yeah. Like, I remember when Obama got elected in 2008, we were coming off of the one of the greatest recessions that we've seen in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking when he got elected, like, damn, I don't know if this is the time to have a black president, because in my mind,
everybody go blame him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And really it was Bush's economy but surprisingly, Obama and his administration turned that bitch around.
He did a lot.
And
he injected a lot of cash into the economy.
That's what black people do, though.
He spent money. That we could do a lot with a little bit.
You give us a little bit, we're going to give you a lot. So
correct.
Now, being that he propped that shit up and it was on life support, it was healthy as fuck. Trump got it. It was still healthy because very little had changed,
mm-hmm.
even though he's taking credit for... Mm-hmm. Whatever, but now this shit's
in along came Corona.
Not even our economy, the global economy is fucked right now.
Right.
Some are better off, and you know what's funny too is a lot of these poor companies. You know, America used to be looked at as a superpower, but more like the gold standard as far as how we do things. Everyone in other countries, for the most part, looked to us.
That's correct.
Like, y'all got y'all shit together.
How are you going to handle this problem?
Correct. We failed miserably. And I've even seen people from overseas say that, damn, I didn't know that America was this fragile.
Well, the thing is, America was not. This was created. This was a situation that was created by ignorance.
That still shows some fragility, though. If this can, if Donald Trump or any of his supporters or any people like him can cripple our entire country.
Well, think about that.
That's fragile.
Think about this. And I believe we've talked about how minorities or minority causes can cause big earthquakes. I remember having a conversation on the show about LGBTQIA, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how they're not a large majority, but when they are fighting for their causes, they cause a lot of ripples. Well, when you think about what Donald Trump has done, he has created microcosms. He has created basically terrorist cells in the United States.
Speaking of microcosms, right? Why'd I have to go back and I had to Google a word that you used last episode, right?
What I said.
I was very curious. And no matter how I spelled it, no matter how I typed it, it didn't exist.
What'd I say?
I'll have to get back to you on that. But it was I'm typing it every which way you can spell it. Even Google, like, their recommendations was like, nigga,
all I want you to know is just tell me what it is and I can show you that it exists. Because if I said.
Nah, wasn't a real word. I'll find it for you.
It's a real word. But like I said, think about splinter cells and think about terrorists and how they operate. Small cells of people creating huge ripples in society. And that is basically, if you think about it like that, this is what Donald Trump has created. He has created.
Has he created it or was it already there?
It was there. It was there, but he made it okay to come out the closet.
So sleeper cells, basically. Like, wake up, nigga, wake up. It's time.
And that is basically what he did, if you think about it. Because, right, this is something that America has had. We talk about it all the time. At its roots. But as the years went on, this is something that was subducted, you know, kept going under the mat, something we covered up as a society.
That's too. I wanted to point out, a lot of people believed in the 90s that, I don't want to say we eradicated racism, but we kind of people came around and they realized the error in their way. No.
Never.
They just went in the closet.
It was undercover. Like you said, sleeper cells. Mm-hmm. So basically, they went into hibernation because it was not the correct thing to do. It was not, you know, they did not have a sympathetic ear. So what you had were people in their homes, you know, in their clubs. I could say it to my boy because he has this like-minded thing. And I could say it in my house because my wife and I, we share the same values. But I couldn't say it out loud. I couldn't walk down the street with tiki torches and, you know, yell, Jews will not replace us. Because the climate for that, you know, you would have been excoriated. You would have basically been run out of town on a rail. But enter Donald Trump. And he starts saying things. And people look the other way. And then his surrogates and the people in the White House, his staff and everybody around him start saying, it's okay for him to say that. And people turn around and go, what?
If he could do it, I could do it too.
Now we can say this out loud because the president is saying it. And woohoo!
Man, so speaking of that, let me ask you this. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't typically talk about politics or religion, even though Ann loves to tell us what the Bible says.
Mm.
Once I finish reading the Quran, I'll be able to tell y'all what it says, too. You think I'm lying. I got a Quran right there.
Yeah, we know.
Do you think, in all seriousness, right, that all Republicans are racist?
I think that all people to some degree are racist.
Okay, so you do think that all Republicans are racist?
Let me repeat my statement.
It's a yes or no. We got to keep it simple.
It's not a yes or no. That's the thing.
Do you think that
there are shades of gray?
What's a shade of gray?
I think every person has racist tendencies.
So
or have had racist tendencies at some point in their lives.
You have some.
I have had some. Mm-hmm. So have you.
I've never.
Yes.
I can't.
Absolutely.
I can't.
Dude, you are a colorist.
I'm so multiracial.
You are a colorist. That does not mean anything.
Okay, if I'm a colorist, right?
You are a colorist and a racist.
I might wear the racist badge, but if I was a colorist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would I be with the person that I am with?
Yes, absolutely.
And why is that?
Because you're an opportunist as well, since we're doing all these ifs.
Okay.
You're an opportunist as well.
So I had the opportunity to date somebody that I did not like their skin tone.
No.
Where's the opportunity?
You saw the opportunity to ride the rail.
So here's my thing,
man. You're currently riding the rail.
If that's the thing, that's place opportunist over here. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I am.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't I find, what do I like? Do I like darker people?
No.
No, lighter? Okay, why couldn't I find a lighter opportunity?
Why ask me what you like? You know what you like.
I have no.
You know what you like.
I like all shades, but.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Since when?
Since we started recording the podcast.
Oh, since we started recording the podcast.
Look, so why couldn't I find a lighter variation of my opportunity?
Okay, because...
Are you trying to say that light-skinned people are smarter than brown-skinned people?
Not at all. What you latched on to is someone that you can manipulate in the way that you wanted to manipulate them.
Well, one... I don't do manipulation.
Of course you do.
But if I were to be a manipulationist.
Yeah, you're a manipulationist.
If I was a manipulationist.
Yes.
I would believe that I can manipulate any and everybody.
You try.
Do I?
Yes.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay, I'm listening.
You try. No.
I'm listening. I love learning new things about myself.
Oh, you know this about yourself, though.
That I'm an opportunist and a manipulationist.
You know this about yourself.
See,
this is I'm not telling you anything new.
I disagree with manipulationist because I am a...
Wait, did you Google that? Is manipulationist the real word?
It is today. I am a, this is what I'm going to do, whether you agree or not. I don't need your input. I don't need your approval. I don't need anything from you. So if that's how I live... Why would I need to manipulate?
Dude, let me tell you something.
That's real shit.
But you know what? This is the thing that I love about people. People are not one note. Just like music,
mm-hmm.
not one note. People are not one note.
Mm-hmm.
You are not one thing. Our character is made up of multiple things. You are a multifaceted young man.
I'm a Maltonist.
You do lots of things.
I do, but I don't have a need to manipulate
anybody.
Give me one need.
Dude, you need entertainment. So you manipulate shit purely for entertainment value.
Manipulation
sometimes.
Is the wrong word to use.
No, it's not.
I create.
Which is a synonym for manipulate.
Drama.
Once again,
I create comedy.
It is. Look up manipulation.
So you're telling me I'd be a good presidential candidate?
Look
then.
Up manipulate. You'd be a good politician, period.
Psh.
Look up manipulation and look at the synonyms.
So back on subject. All Trump supporters, do you think that they are racist?
Once again,
I
am going with what I have said. Everybody has racist tendencies.
Now,
everybody does.
I disagree with that.
Everybody has prejudices.
That's true.
And everybody has racist tendencies. Because what is racism? What's your definition? since we're talking about that, what is racism?
Racism is basically, in a nutshell, simplified, you don't like somebody because of their skin color or ethnicity.
Or you think you're better than that person. Correct. Because of.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. I would say that that's a safe thing to say, but I'll answer the questions. Do I think all Republicans are racist? No. Do I think that all Trump supporters are racist? Yes. And there is a divide.
I agree with that.
There's a divide. You have Republicans that find Trump just abhorrent.
Repugnant. That's correct.
So,
but they still support him. They still support. See,
I know some that don't.
They, Mitt Romney.
No, I know people that are in our circle of regular interactions that don't.
Okay, wait. And are you sure that they are Republicans?
Yes.
Tell me who, because
a man that wears a hat.
I would not say the man that wears the hat is a Republican.
He's a center leaning Republican.
I would think,
or as he would say, cafeteria politics.
Exactly right. But I can say this: as I said, I would not say that everybody who supports Donald Trump is a racist, because you have black people that support Donald Trump.
Can they not be racist against their own people?
Once again, everybody has racist tendencies, man, is what I said, at some point, or have had at some point. Anybody has the ability to be racist.
And I think black Trump supporters are 100% racist and stupid, because...
I go with stupid. Now, if you ask me if every Trump supporter is stupid, yes, is my answer to that. But as I said, I am not going to say that I think that there are some Trump supporters who are misguided. And I read this opinion piece by this teacher who was an avid Trump supporter. And in her opinion piece, she is now an avid Trump detractor. And what she said, like, they asked her, she was on, I think she was on CNN, and the reporter asked her why she voted for Trump. And she said that she was under some misconceptions. And she said, my reasons were my reasons then, and they're no longer valid now. And, you know, she went on to say that she would not vote for Donald Trump if she was being paid $1 million to do so. So
wait, one vote for $1 million? I mean,
said she would not do it. And so basically, like I said, everybody at some point, and I'm not, see, because when you think racist, as with, you know, we had a show, we talked about affirmative action, and affirmative action.
Black.
Exactly. When you think racist, you think white.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's associated.
I don't believe it or not. When I hear racist, I think at one point in my life, I probably did think white. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you got the whole reverse racism, and then you got black folks saying, how can I be racist when I'm black and I have no power. They brought the power dynamic into it. But one of the things I found interesting as I got older is Asians, the amount of racism, even among themselves. Like the darker Asians, the lighter Asians, the Filipinos.
But that's colorism.
Well, the Filipinos, the Vietnamese, those is the niggas of Asia. And the Chinese look down on them. The I'm not sure about Japanese.
But you know, there are some Chinese people that have darker skin. And they try to
bleach their shit.
They are looked down on. Like I said, colorism. Colorism is a totally different spectrum.
Or is it?
It is. It really
so
is.
Why would, now this is, see, we're way off topic here, but we're gonna it'll make it back around. But why do you think that Chinese people find lighter and fairer skin more appealing attractive than darker skin. Because, so I'm thinking
because they've white people. They've been brainwashed as well. That's absolutely right. I mean, just like I know where it sparks from us. I know where colorism in our community
slavery
originated. Right. But then you move forward to like 19th, 20th century. And when you see, then you see, and you see China, China was Americanized. They wanted everything that America had. And when you wanted back then what America had, you start looking at advertisements. And what did magazine ads, regular ads, you know, television ads, what did they have? What was?
But China is
shut up.
It's a communist country, right?
Yeah, but still, they look at them. They wanted Western things, and wanting to be like Western people. As I said, what was the ideal? Same thing that we were seeing in the United States, they were seeing. And in advertisements, what you saw were blonde, thin, white.
And you know what's crazy that you say that too is the Chinese. Well, let's start with blonde, thin, and white. So that was the goal for everybody for a while.
That was the gold standard, correct.
But then comes the people like the Kardashians who appropriate black features, correct, black culture, our bodies, like you see the ass implants. But back, you know, in the day, if someone said you have a big butt back in the day,
you went, started working out. Right. It was like, I got to get rid of
this. Exactly.
But you know what? That is not a new phenomenon. The Kardashians made it popular again. Because think about this.
Bo Derek.
White people tan.
Yeah.
And what's the purpose of a tan?
And they get perms. And this is what's crazy. I did not realize until I used to...
A relax and a perm?
Yeah.
The differences?
When I was young, well, younger, and I ain't had nowhere to live,
dude,
one of my aunties...
you can say when I was young.
Come on. No, this is when I was like younger. Man, and fuck you talking about my after school special, don't do drugs. Like, man... fuck out of here. I look, I look smooth as shit.
Exactly what I said.
I look after, smooth.
After school version of a boy band reject, bro.
Nah.
Straight up.
Hey, kids, you think drugs are cool? I am Dan on drugs, and I'm here to say, shit, I forgot what I was going
on. We were talking about the difference between relaxers and...
Oh, yeah. I live with my auntie who runs a hair shop, which, surprisingly, that's where I learned how to cornrow and do all kinds of other feminine type of shit, because I would have to sit in her hair shop while no one was at the house because they didn't want me bringing the little bitches through the house. So, you're going to come work
once
at the
again,
shop.
Why every woman got to be a bitch?
Not
man.
Everyone, but back then, if she came to my auntie house...
But you still
house,
be calling women bitches right now.
If she came
now.
To my auntie house with me, she was going to be a little bitch.
You know what? Never mind. That's going to be another show.
So my auntie and them was like, you got to come down to the shop and work here. You're going to clean up. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I'm like, bet. Auntie didn't realize that she has a hair shop.
With
she does
women.
Women's hair.
With women.
That's correct. Actually how I met Becky. Like, long story, but that's how I met Becky. But I'd be sitting in there playing with the little dummy. She had the dummy heads. And yeah, I learned how to do box braids, cornrows, all kinds of shit.
Man, you could be making some serious money right now.
You ain't seen a picture when I cornrowed Becky's hair? Mm-mm. I'm going to have to show it to you during quarantine. But I always thought, you hear black girls say, I need to go get a perm. And being that my family has a lot of white people in there, I would hear them say, I had to get a perm too.
And didn't realize that perm was to curl your hair and relax was to straighten your hair.
So I'm like looking at it, I'm like, why their hair look like this when they get a perm and why your hair look like this? So my auntie had to explain it to me. She was like, the word perm is misused by black folks.
People. Uh-huh.
It's a relaxer, which straightens your hair. And the perm for white people makes it curlier.
Correct.
So if we're sitting here trying to straighten our hair to fit the Eurocentric look,
correct,
why the fuck are they trying to curl their hair.
Exactly. And that is the point that I was trying to make when you said about the Kardashians. That's been here. It is as much as we have been taught self-hate, our looks have been appropriated by Eurocentric people since forever. It's like I said, what's the purpose of a tan? The purpose of a tan is to darken your skin. My skin looks better if it is darker. Yet, I don't appreciate your dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And my butt looks good because I just got injections. But I make fun of the fact that your ass is wide and full of junk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your lips are really big. But I go and I get injections.
Collagen and all that shit.
To increase the poutiness of my lips, right? So the Kardashians they didn't start this. They popularized it for right now.
Well, that was crazy too. I dated one almost white chick before in my day.
Almost white dude, so what you talking about?
Now you listen here. I find that highly. I don't even know what color she was. Her skin was white, but man, I don't know. So
wait, you don't know what?
I think she might have been mixed though, and this is what gave her away. Right, the bitch did not have an upper lip. It was like a straight line, but she had a full ass bottom lip, and I'm like, you must be mixed. That was a dead giveaway. You know who I'm talking about.
You stupid.
But so back on track here. This executive order, right?
Okay. Man, you're gonna have to cut all of this. This gonna be an outtake.
First
15 minutes gonna be
It's good.
It's gonna be an outtake.
Look, Black Law and Legal Lies here, man. You know? So an executive order.
Right.
I'm going to just read the definition because I still don't think that I have a full understanding
of what it is.
So an executive order is a means of issuing federal directives in the United States used by the president of the United States that manages operations of the federal government. The legal or constitutional basis for an executive order has multiple sources. Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution gives the president broad executive and enforcement authority to use their discretion to determine how to enforce the law or to otherwise manage resources and staff of the executive branch. The ability to make such orders is also based on express or implied acts of Congress that delegate to the president some degree of discretionary power.
Mm-hmm.
AKA delegated legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Like both legislative statutes and regulations, a new word,
promulgated
by government agencies, executive orders are subject to judicial review and may be overturned if the orders lack support by the statute or the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Some policy initiatives require approval by the legislative branch,
mm-hmm.
but executive orders have significant influence over the internal affairs of government, deciding how and what degree legislation will be enforced, dealing with emergencies, waging wars, and in general fine-tuning policy choices in the implementation of broad statutes.
Mm-hmm.
As the head of state and head of government, head of the U.S. government, as well as commander in chief of the United States Armed Forces. There's a comma in there. Armed Forces. Only the president of the U.S. can issue an executive order. So once they are issued, they remain in force until they're canceled, revoked, adjudicated, unlawful.
Adjudicated.
Same thing.
Mm-mm.
I've heard it both ways.
Or expire
on their own.
Mm-hmm.
At any time, the president may revoke it, modify it, make exceptions from any executive order, whether the order was made by that president or a predecessor. Typically, a new president reviews in-force executive orders for the first few weeks in office. So what that says to me is that I don't need Congress. I don't need the House. I don't need Senate. I don't need anybody. If I want some shit to pop off, I can do it myself without y'all, as long as it is within the United States Constitution, deemed, I guess, legal.
All right. So kind of sort of, yeah, nah. What executive orders can do, like you said, it has to be within some statute and or constitutionally given power. Like, Donald Trump cannot make a law.
Right.
That is 100% power given to Congress.
I just found this out, but nor can he taxes.
Right.
He can't.
Power of the purse is 100% given to Congress. So they are the ones that can appropriate funds. They're the ones that can tax or make laws in regards to tax. That is totally the power given to Congress via the Constitution. But what he can do is, excuse me, within the powers given by the Constitution and other law, he can make orders that further give guidance. So what he did with this current executive order was...
Which one? Didn't he do two after the...
I think there were like four, huh?
Or I know three? He's done a lot. He's been doing executive orders.
Well, we're talking
right.
about since we initially started talking about unemployment the benefits.
Pandemic, yeah.
So in relation to that, what he did, because Congress could not decide, they couldn't reach that meeting of the minds and come to an agreement between their two bills, and they went home. What Donald Trump decided to do was say, hey, y'all need this? I'm going to help y'all get it. And so how he proposes to do that is to take FEMA funds and issue them to the various state governments.
Is this not how we got into this shit? Because didn't he disperse and take the pandemic team's funds and do some other shit with it?
Well, he dispersed the pandemic department. Like, and after
it was funded, though, wasn't it?
It was, but he got rid of it. When he got into office, he got rid of it. So, you know, that was something. He was bound and determined. Let me make just to say this as an aside. If you look at everything that Donald Trump has done, it was basically to dismantle anything that President Obama had done. So anything that President Obama put in place, that dude was bound and determined to get rid of.
That makes no sense, though, because...
Oh, it makes perfect sense to him because... Well,
to me, because you cannot erase under... No matter what you do, you cannot erase the history of the first black president of the United States of America, two-term president.
But he tried. Because look at everything that he's done. Everything that he's done... It was geared towards getting rid of everything President Obama put in place. And if just look at it. But by this executive order that had to do with federal assistance for unemployment, basically, he can't fund anything. As we said earlier, Congress has the ability to provide funding.
So he diverts.
But once something is funded, the money is out there. It's been appropriated for certain things, right? So FEMA has billions of dollars for disaster relief, right? And I think they have something like $68 billion. And what I'm recalling is correct, y'all go and read it because totally from memory, what his executive order did was say that we can spend that money until... it reaches $25 billion. You know, we're going to use those funds because this is an emergency. We're just going to divert. Same thing that he did with his wall. He diverted funds from one thing that had already been appropriated by Congress to do this other thing. And so that's what he's done. Thing is, once again, constitutionally, there are some problems. Problem with that is, do you want to be the Congress, or, you know, do you want to be the House of Representatives that challenges his ability to put money in the pockets of citizens who are hurting?
Yes, I would.
And that's the thing. Like, when I heard about this, I was like, I started laughing because I was like, he can't do that. Like, that's not constitutional. And I was looking for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the rest of the Democrats to jump on it and go, nah, we about to, because as you read, these things can be adjudicated unconstitutional. And that means you challenge it in court.
But let me tell you, people, Nancy, nasty Nancy.
And the judge decides whether or not what he's done is constitutional or not. So
my understanding with this particular order is the only thing. Now, I don't know this to be true, but from what I've been reading and hearing, is the only thing that's, I guess, constitutionally acceptable is what he did for the student loans.
Actually, tolling the interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
That was something that he could do to, because that was already something. All he did was continue it.
Right.
Because that was something that the bill had already put in place, and he just continued it. Yes, he can do that. But like I said, that whole diverting things, and then it's not something that is automatic. What his order said was that the states initially, the way the executive order, how it was worded, the states would basically have to ask for funding, and then they would have to agree to provide $100, because remember he said 400?
Yep.
Well, 300 was coming from the federal government if the states kicked in 100.
And that, I mean, I didn't even read anything about that, but that shit don't even sound constitutional, because that, wouldn't that impede on states' rights to an extent?
Well, what it did was, you take a cash-strapped state.
Louisiana.
I don't have money. Mm-hmm. So how can I guarantee that I'm going to kick in $100 for each unemployed resident, that, you know, each person that's applied for benefits? How am I going to kick it in when I don't have money to kick in? And if by your executive order, in order for me to get this extra $300 for my citizens, I have to agree to give $100, who got that to give?
And with the current amount of unemployed people, and let's be real, most states have been lax on their unemployment, as far as like, we know Louisiana, they got rid of the whole you need to
look for a job,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So
which, by the way, that's back,
right? You have to. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a state that requires you to look for a job, I can tell you this with certainty, that all that means is you have to apply for jobs. So if you used to work at Walmart, apply at NASA to be a lead engineer. You don't, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a job that you can get or are qualified for. You just have to apply
for a job. Right?
But with so many people,
seek employment.
So many people on unemployment, it's like, there's no way that any states can afford this right now. An extra $100 a week per person, mm-hmm, on, we're talking about what, 10, 15 million people unemployed right now?
Yeah.
So that would be 10 to 30 million dollars a week extra.
100 times however many people.
Let's say 10 million people, so times 10, that's 100 10, million.
So that's 10 million people times 100.
100 million. Right. So we're talking about 100 million a week. That, and of course, that's not one state. That's collectively. But still, that's
a
ridiculous
lot of money,
yeah,
considering that most states don't have the money. And we're talking weekly. I'm kicking in $100. But I heard something on one of these news outlets that I think he walked that back. They like states will not have to. And I think I heard Governor John Bel Edwards say that they waived that $100. They're just going to give them the three. They have to apply and FEMA's going to give them the money. And once they do that, then they can continue benefits. But once again, I don't know how that's going to work out because it's like you want Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats to cut him off at the pass. Mm-hmm. Because you think about it, if I give him an inch, we know this president, he will take a million miles because, you know, in his head, oh, I did it before. I'm going to keep doing it. You know, anytime things don't go the way I want them to go, I'm an executive order it out.
And he's done that like a lot of them. Right. And this is also what's crazy about him is so in talking to Paul, I remember early on in his presidency, Paul would not get upset about anything he said or did. And I remember I'm like, yo, how does this not bother affect you? So he's like, not that it doesn't bother me, but what he's doing is he's creating a pattern. And if you are outraged over every little thing that he does or says, when the time comes that he does something that should either cost him his presidency or even his freedom, it's just going to be par for the course.
Right, because it's like, y'all just said everything that he's done was bad. So this is just one more thing. And right. That is basically what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
He gaslighted the whole world is what he did.
Yep. So I remember I'm like, yo, I can't believe. Some of the shit, like the name calling and stuff
I'm not even giving him a pass on that. I'm sorry, because you are a 70 plus year old man who is the leader of the free world, and you have no respect for anybody. And when I see that is something that I can say unequivocally. He has no respect for anybody.
Herman Cain, he was my best nigger.
Trust me.
And let me tell you, people.
That's the thing. Even the people who support him, because the minute that you say something bad about him, you could have been his staunchest supporter.
John McCain.
Years. But the minute you say something bad about him, he flips on you. So he honestly has no respect for anybody. He is self-centered to the point of madness. And
have you read Mary Trump's book yet?
I started reading.
Ooh, explains a lot, doesn't it?
Hell yeah. Let me tell you what's crazy about that situation. I started reading the book and my mother sees me reading it and she goes, that's his niece's book. She said, and I go, yeah. And she goes, I want to read it. It was an ebook, you know, because I don't do regular books anymore, ebooks. So I was like, I'm gonna send it to you. And I sent it to her and the woman is reading it. And I'm like, my mama don't read, but she is reading that book.
I don't read either.
But she is reading that book. And so I'm like, just the beginning, when she talks about how the family and what went on around, like that very first page, she starts outlining how her family created Donald Trump.
Right.
And what happened in her family. And I'm like, yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Now, what got me too, I don't remember where it was because it's been a minute, but have you gotten to the part where he funded, well, first he cut the medical insurance and then paid for, I want to say it was his brother. He cut his brother's medical insurance off, right?
Wait, brother just died?
Nah. One, okay. I think it was Mary's father. But cut the medical insurance off while he was in the hospital clinging to life, right? Mm-hmm. So in order to pay for it, they had to sign all kinds of shit. And then by the time the estate,
he owned all their shares or he owned.
Basically, he said, because I paid for however much medical care or whatever, that shit's coming out of your inheritance. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, that's foul. I could not do a family member like that. Even one. Well, there's one or two I could do like that.
But see, that's the thing. When I said classic narcissist, that he fits the classic definition of a narcissist. It is all about him all the time.
But scarier is, on top of his narcissism, we already know how dangerous somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia can be.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a narcissist with dementia, man, that's just crazy. So this executive order, for the most part, none of it's going to should be able to fly.
Right. And that's the thing. It shouldn't. But I have this feeling that is going to, because of the times that we are in, and because election is in November, as I said, the minute that Congress takes this man to court over this, you know that there's going to be an attack ad out that said, I tried to give you, because he is already on TV saying, I tried to do this, or, you know, the Republicans tried to do this and the Democrats blocked it. And about the spending bill, about the what was it, stimulus three, whatever one that they're working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
He had a press conference, and at the press conference, that's all he said. We tried to do this. The Democrats stopped it. We tried to do this. The Democrats stopped it. That was everything that came out of his mouth. So like I said, the minute that they try to take him to court over this executive order, that's what you're going to hear. I tried to put $300 extra dollars in your pocket, and the Democrats blocked me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went home and I tried to do something for the people and they blocked it. That is what you're going to hear over and over and over.
Same thing happened with the impeachment, though. And I agreed with Nancy Pelosi on this. And I don't follow politics very closely, mm-hmm. but I follow them close enough to where I know a lot of people who get their politics from social media.
Mm-hmm.
So with the whole impeachment, everyone was gung-ho with this impeachment. I agree with Nancy Pelosi. No, now is not the time. No, but you had the progressive Democrats, mm-hmm. the AOCs, mm-hmm. and the squad, basically, like, mm-hmm. nah, we need to get this popping. Got it popping. We saw what happened. Nothing happened. So he can use that as part of his reelection strategy is, look, the Democrats tried to impeach me. No collusion. Didn't right. do anything wrong. Right. Even though William Barr butchered the shit out of what's his name?
Mueller.
Yeah, the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. William Barr, the shit that he said was not in Mueller's report.
Absolutely not. But see, and that's something else, because nobody around him is paying for what they've done. I mean, how many people have we pardoned?
Pardoned, yeah. Roger Stone.
And the Justice Department is now saying that, what's his name? Michael.
Avenatti?
The general.
My boy.
The general. They're trying to get his case thrown out.
Kelly?
No. The one who lied to the FBI about Russia. He was, what's this dude's name? Like, they straight up, the DOJ is like, he should not, DOJ tosses.
The dude that was talking about it was about adopting children, the whole Russia meeting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this motherfucker. All I know is if he does not go to prison after his time in the White House.
Michael Flynn.
Flynn, that's right. Yeah.
Michael Flynn. So they want to toss his case. And so, like I said, the only person who is not getting out of jail is his lawyer. But that dude coming out with a book now. And it's like, in the book, he's like, yeah, Trump lied. He cheated to win the election, this and that and the other. But as I said, this man has gaslighted the whole country and the world. And it doesn't, at this point, it does not matter what you say about him. Nothing, like, the people who are for him or for him. It does not matter what you say.
They're hateful and they're racist. Like riding through my neighborhood today, right? We were coming back. We went to Home Depot. And rather than coming down the main street, I took one of the back streets down by the park, how you can get all vets. And so I'm riding through. And like the way my neighborhood is set up is there is a hood that we're hood adjacent. There's a hood way over there. Well,
you
know what?
That's the way like everything around here is set up. Either it's like you have the hood, you walk, you go down like two blocks, and then you have affluence. Right. So,
I'm coming down there and I'm riding, looking at all the hood houses, and I'm like, damn. So, next thing you know, one block over on the corner, this dude has a homemade Trump sign. It is Trump Pence 2020, Keep America Great Again. Then he went to Home Depot and got one of the solar pathway lights.
Mm-hmm.
So he put the solar panel on top of the Trump sign and put the little light in the ground and is aiming up at it. So I'm like, Jesus. So me, my mama and Becky, we laughing like that dumb motherfucker. That, and then look over. Boom. Another Trump Pence 2020. Boom. Another one over here. Mm-hmm. Now, this is my neighborhood. So I'm like, They know that they're closer to the hood than we are as far as the low income housing or what have you. So that to me is just it's a hateful thing to do to kind of spite the people that have to look at your house from, like, say the projects is across the street from my house and I start hanging, I don't know, fuck niggers signs in my yard, which. Here, apparently, you saw the news article I sent you. You're allowed to do that shit.
Right. Guy had it on his fence.
Yeah.
So why not? It's like
just to spite people, because there's no way that right now, I don't care who you are, that you're doing better in under this administration than you were under the Obama or even the G.W. Bush.
But, you know, as we're always saying, it's not about that.
It's about being hateful and disrespectful.
It is about, I am better than you. It does not matter. Because, you know, we've talked about how you could be trailer park trash and think that you are better than a black millionaire because you are white.
Man, so this is something that I thought of. Let me put this out here, too, because I'm probably going to forget about it. But you know how they go through our neighborhoods, when I say they, media, white people, even news anchors, but they go through our neighborhoods and it's more or less a under the guise of reporting or showing people what's going on. It's, can you believe how these people live? Can you da 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 da?
They always pick the worst house, right? The worst people. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking we should get together a camera crew and go into these poor white neighborhoods in Louisiana and just go, man, can you believe these people live like this?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Your trailer's fucking crooked and parked wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I didn't know you could move a house. You can just drive your house away. Man, how do you people live like this? Like, that's what I want to do. Kind of like, what's his name? Kamal.
Yeah, United Shades of Black.
You just go into white neighborhoods. So let's wrap up with this here. Speaking of our narcissist in chief.
Sorry. United Shades of America is what the show is called.
With W. Kamal Bell. Voter suppression and the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Another one of Trump's tricks.
I see a lot of people, and I was one of the people, I ain't even gonna lie. So I'm gonna have to retract my statement, which was, okay, if the post office does not want to cooperate, I said.
Wait, if the post office doesn't want to cooperate.
Yeah, with the mail-in.
It's not that they don't want to.
The
postmaster general. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I said, this would be a great time for FedEx or UPS or someone in the free market.
To step in
and say, okay, well, we will take your ballots for free and we will deliver them. And I'm like, I thought that was a good idea, and it would also give them all kinds of political clout themselves. Problem with that is the U.S. Postal Service, I did not know that it was a constitutionally mandated service. It is a service. It's not like a UPS or
it's not a business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being the case, I'm like, And then I looked into their political leanings, and UPS and FedEx both are right leaning, as are most corporations.
Big business.
Yeah, but he's gotten the post offices with his little boy toy that has no experience whatsoever.
He was just a big contributor to his political campaign.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's who you put in lots of these positions, you know, because we know loyalty is his dog whistle. If you are loyal to him, I'm going to take care of you as long as you take care of me. So, you know, I believe in coincidence, but correct me if I'm wrong. In an election year, you place someone new as Postmaster General, who then begins to slash overtime, slash employees, slash efficiencies, but says that what he's doing is trying to make the Postal Service self-sufficient and more efficiently get the mail to people. Yet you are turning off machines and taking them out, not replacing them with anything better. You are basically stopping these postal workers from getting overtime, which was needed to make sure that the mail was timely.
Have you tracked anything lately? My shit used to be arriving by 8 p.m. On said day. Now, no matter what day it is, it's arriving by 6 something.
It's always 9 o'clock. And then when you look, it says delays.
A couple of them, they just don't update it. It's out for delivery for a couple of days. And I've never had problem receiving priority mail. That because priority mail takes priority.
Right.
And I've had 2-day shipping on all kinds of shit with priority mail. Priority's now taking 3 to 5 days, no matter where it's sent from.
As an aside, just to let you know, I had a piece of mail come back to me, right? Return the sender, address unknown. That piece of mail was postmarked 2018.
And you just got it?
Just got it last Thursday.
Man, so speaking of that, I tried to send a shout out to my brother Hayes, CEO Hayes. So that box, I had to take it out my truck, my bad. But that box right there behind you, it's a tripod. So I went, it was probably about a month ago now, and I took it to the post office. I even sent him a picture of the label. Whenever I'm mailing something, I confirm with somebody, is this right? So he's like, yeah, that's right. Go in there. Post office said, this address doesn't exist. So I said, you sure? So we both jump on our phones, and I'm like, yo, I got it right here. It's a complex. And she's looking on her phone and was like, yeah, I see it. But it will not allow me to use this address. And there's a dash in the address. So let's say his address is 721-23, whatever, like the unit number or whatever. They're like, it won't let me put the -2 in, -3, -4, whatever it is. So I'm like, okay, well, can we use unit B or C or 10 or whatever it was? So nope. I'm like, ain't that some shit? So I text him. I'm like, yo, you sure this your address? So he sent me a picture, a screenshot. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I figured, because I found it on Google too. But the post office is saying they can't send it because the address.
So how does his other mail get? That's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a Louisiana thing or.
You know, it's the post office is wonky. And getting back to what we were talking about, voter suppression, we know since the 60s, hell, since the 50s, since the 40s. Like, we know that voter suppression is a big thing in the Black community. Well, let me say in communities of color and low-income communities.
And to add to that is when people say, my vote doesn't count, my vote doesn't count, my vote doesn't matter, I just want to echo something I read somewhere else. If it doesn't matter, why are they trying so hard to take it away from you? Right. Yeah.
And that's what you should be thinking. If my vote, that's logic. If my vote does not matter, why do they want to take it from me?
Mm-hmm.
That is the logic, the next step. But so the United States Postal Service, we know that we're in the midst of a pandemic. And I believe that 70%, give or take, of the vote in the country is via mail. There are some states who, yes, like Colorado has a mail-in vote system. That's how people vote, by mail. Like, they have some sites set up where you can go in person, but by large, their system is basically mail-in. So they send out ballots, and you can either fill it out, mail it in, or drop in these drop boxes, or like bring it to the polls the day of, but it's paper, ballot, mail. That's how they do it. Because of the pandemic, most states have, states that did not necessarily have a robust mail-in voting system, they have literally changed the laws of the voting laws in their state to accommodate mail-in voting, because they know that that's going to be huge in this election. Mm-hmm. Well, you think about the fact that President Trump does not want to fund the United States Postal Service. And he has literally said it. He did not equivocate. He was on TV and he said, I know that funding it, they're going to use it for mail-in voting, and that's not what he wants.
You know how he's voting?
Mail-in.
Mm-hmm.
He has requested a ballot. His wife has also requested a ballot.
That bitch should not be allowed to vote.
From the state of Florida.
She should not be. She's a mail-in bride. She should not be allowed to
mail
vote.
Mail order bride. But look, let me tell you something that I find so funny. It's so funny that it's outrageous. This man has said that mail-in voting is rife with fraud. That is what his new dog whistle is. He keeps saying it. He keeps saying that. He keeps saying it, and he keeps saying it. But he says that absentee voting is good. So
F&T.
Mail-in voting is bad.
Absentee
voting is good. How many of us know it's the exact same thing? Absentee, the only difference is an absentee ballot is requested
right
by a voter.
And I know I was looking at mail-in voting for me and Becky. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go stand in lines. We don't Correct. Want to go Correct. Down to the polls.
Correct.
But Louisiana offers mail absentee, which is, I guess,
you have to request, and you have to have a reason.
Right. And like, I think you also cannot be in the state. So that we definitely need to do something about that.
But like
then
I said,
again, I think with all of Trump's dismantling of the USPS, you saw they were removing mailboxes.
Yeah.
So in Washington State, in Oregon, and Wyoming, I think it was, they were removing mailboxes, and they have them in a storage facility now, right? So what the Postmaster General is saying is, no, that has nothing to do with the election. What we were doing in order to help mail move faster is we were taking...
Trying to centralize it?
Yeah, we were taking some of these low traffic mailboxes, and we were just going to remove them and put them in high traffic areas. That's bullshit.
Of course
Because high traffic areas, I'm sure, already have mailboxes because they're high traffic areas.
Of course. But see, that's why I said, and we're talking about voter suppression. You're doing everything, even though from what I understand, everything that I've read and everything that I've heard, mail-in ballots favor Republicans.
Yeah.
So, but
because old people, basically.
Exactly. So here's the crazy thing. Another thing, the Republican National Committee, Donald Trump and the rest of his cronies, they're suing Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania is one of the states that expanded their mail-in voting.
Mm-hmm.
They are suing them, and they are what they are saying is that there was so much fraud and this and that. So they're making these unfounded allegations. There's no evidence. So what the court in Pennsylvania has done is told them that they need to provide the proof
right
behind their allegations. Of course, we know there is none. But here's the thing.
Because what Jim Rummy said,
the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence.
That's right.
But here's the crazy thing, though. He is suing the state of Pennsylvania, right? While he is promoting that the state of Florida should vote absentee.
Yeah, because Florida's a state full of shitheads who are going to vote for him anyway.
Exactly. So it's like, dude, how much more transparent can you be? Yet you have all of his surrogates saying that this is not an attempt by him to disenfranchise and suppress vote and affect the elections in any way.
I don't see how people could watch Fox News. I'll just end with that. I don't see it. I'm sitting here listening to them trying to justify any and everything, and I'm just like,
there are no justifications.
How can you be so stupid enough to believe this shit? And we know somebody like this who is, I would say, for all intents and purposes, he's not stupid, but he's stupid because he eats this shit up. His entire day, it just consists of Fox News talking points. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then his buddy started making little comments here and there now talking about, yeah, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to manage a business if they defund the police. And then, you know, what's going to happen when I need to have cost 911 or something like that to one of my, yo. Shut the fuck up. And every now and then I just want to use a racial slur. Like, shut your crack ass up, man. Just do it. But
oh, see that little bit of racism you got right there?
No. You see a little bit of racism? I can use a racial slur without being racist.
Really?
I say nigga all the time. I say nigga all the time.
Okay, and so really.
Yeah. I'm not racist if I say nigga.
Did you just hear what you said?
Shut your crack ass up.
No, I can use a racial slur without being a racist.
Yeah.
You know what? We covering this in our next episode.
Okay, as well as Kamala Harris, because right now, I mean, I would like to add her in here, but time constraints. So what I'll just say is Kamala Harris. Yes, I call her Kamala.
No, you're not calling her. Her name is Kamala.
I call her Kamala.
You another one. So no. We definitely Black. Addressing that Look. Again, because her name is Kamala. It's not Kamala. Kamala was a wrestler.
Nah, Kamala
was a wrestler.
It's how
he recently died.
The Black people, that's how we identify with people.
Her name is Kamala.
Like, I know somebody named Tamika. You know what we call her? Tamika. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's a term of endearment.
No, it's not. You have any wrestlers named Tamika?
Yeah, actually it is.
Yeah, whatever.
It is. She just fought Ronda Rousey.
Once again.
But Black women, and this is something that we all know, but I just want to say it is, Black women have it 10 times harder than Black men. We saw during the Obama campaign, we see it every day.
We mean politically, because...
Period.
No, because I'd beg to differ, but we need to get, because you need to boil that down, because there are some areas that Black men definitely have it harder than Black women.
Okay. Well, so, yeah, that is true. I'm speaking in... Not necessarily just politically, but corporate, in the work
now,
world.
I can agree with you on
10 times worse, because Black women are the most educated on paper as far as college degrees and stuff, like most educated group of people in this country, right? They get paid about 65 cents on the dollar.
Correct.
Compared to men. And you are not seen as a threat. Like right now, you have what, law degree, multiple degrees? I guarantee you that I would be seen as more of a threat in a corporate environment than
correct.
You
that
because
is correct.
I am a man.
That is correct.
So we'll get into that next episode too. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Black Law and Legalize. And remember, if you or anybody you know are having trouble finding prostitutes during this pandemic, check out the new app, Let Ho. I'm Dan. Keep up with me on Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. The show, all platforms. We need to get a TikTok just because Trump on a bandit. Bandit Black Law Podcast.
For real. And I'm just Dan, and you can follow me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies. Thanks, guys.
And next week, I'm going to wear a change of clothes. This one won't.
You know what?